approve the regular meeting for September 8, 2014. Will come to order. Please turn off or silence electronic devices. Mr. Richard, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Here.
Councilmember Bozeman.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andres.
Here.
Councilmember Geisler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Norman.
Here. At this time, I'd like to ask the council to amend the agenda. We have an officer that we had a recommendation to approve for hiring, and he is actually on patrol tonight, so we'd like to get him back out there. I'd like to amend the agenda, item 7F1, and move it to the next item. Do I hear a motion?
I move.
Move, Mr. Richard.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Rhodes. Does that be a roll call?
Yes.
Roll call vote. What? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Bozeman.
Yes.
Councilmember Geisler.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now we're on consideration. Consider hiring full-time officer Jeremy Thompson. You going to take that? Last week, go ahead.
Sorry.
Why don't you come up to the podium?
Mr. Thompson's gone through the hiring board with positive results. Everything worked out. He is post-certified. He has appropriate certifications and whatnot. And he was hired provisionally on September 1st. And we'd like to see him at 18 an hour with the rank of sergeant.
All right. Move, Mr. Andre.
Second.
Second, Mr. Richard. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. All those opposed, nay. Hearing none, motion passes. Mr. Thompson, Officer Thompson, welcome aboard.
Congratulations.
You get to work. All right. Now, I'd also like at this time to ask the council to consider moving item 11A up to the next item.
I move.
Move, Mr. Andre. Second by Ms. Bourgeois. Any discussion with the council? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Geisler.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
At this time, I'd like to call up to the podium my fellow Entergy retiree, Mr. Don Gascon, who's going to give us a background of what we're here for.
I'll give this a try. Members of the council, audience, the mayor asked me to come up and take a few minutes to say a few words about one of your fellow community members here. And I don't think you told members of the community what it was about, but
it's a resolution for the certificate of commendation for Mr. Jerry Bessoff for being inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. I think everybody's happy about it except him. All right, I thought you knew by now. Good, go ahead.
Yeah, since he already told you what it's all about, and that's great. I'll try to give you a little background on him, and he told me to do this in just a couple of minutes because they have a lot of important business to discuss tonight, so I'll see what I can do in a couple of minutes. Jerry is one of those all-time great high school boxers from back in the 40s and 50s, and look at me. He always says that I got him started boxing, and I don't know. I think that happened sometime. I was in fourth grade and I had started boxing. I was on the boxing team, and I was kind of proud of that. And Jerry was always a little bit better than I was at everything. He could run faster than I could. He could jump farther than I could. So I done found something I could do maybe and thought maybe I could beat him in boxing. Well, wrong. I couldn't beat him at that either. But anyway, Jerry started boxing at a very young age, and he was in fourth grade, as a matter of fact, like I was. He went on Boxton High School, and he went on to Boston, excuse me. In 1946, Jerry became a teenager. He was 13, 14 years old about that time, I guess. He was big enough to be on the boxing team and compete at the state tournament level. In 1946, he went to the state tournament. He had had five matches that year, I believe, against other schools, and that prepared him for the state tournament, and he fought his first state tournament at 90 pounds, a big old guy. During the year, I think he had about five matches that prepared him for the state tournament, and he fought three fights, real hard fights, in the state tournament that got him to the finals, where he lost in the finals, and he was runner-up state that year, 1946. 1947, he had about 10 or 12 matches, I believe, during the regular season that prepared him for the tournament. He came back that year to the tournament and boxed three matches in the tournament and won the state championship that year. 1948, he had another good season that year, and he won about 12 fights, I believe, during the season. Came back and had another three fights in the state tournament, and again, was a runner-up, lost, I think, maybe in the finals that year. 1949, he came back and had the same number of fights during the season, probably. At state tournament time, he came in and had three hard fights in the state tournament, and he won the championship again. So Jerry was two-time state champion. And along the way, he fought some guys that... I'll give you a little bit of background on that. I won't take very long on that, but just to kind of qualify what Jerry did, let you know what kind of boxers he had to fight to win the state championship twice and win all those fights that he fought. And I keep saying fights, and you know, boxing back then in high school wasn't what you see on TV today. That's fighting. What we did was box, and it was a gentleman's sport. And I think our coaches taught us all to be gentlemen. And but anyway, some of the people that Jerry boxed, a fellow by the name of Dial Fontenot, he turned out to be a state champion twice. He went on to college at McNeese State University. He won two championships at the NAIA state level. So he was a pretty good fighter. Along the way, this fellow Dial Fontenot that Jerry beat also beat a three-time state champion. Jerry beat a fellow by the name of Evan Guidreau. He was also a two-time NAI champion from McNeese University. He beat a guy by the name of Jordan Boudreau from Scott, who was a national high school champion and a state champion. He beat a fellow by the name of Gene Segura from New Iberia High School, who was a very highly regarded boxer and also a state champion. He beat a boy by the name of Lamar Hankins from Oak Grove, Louisiana, who was twice state champion and twice a Drinks Trophy winner. And the Drinks Trophy was nothing to sneeze at. That was usually the best boxer in the state tournament that year. So Jerry beat a two-time Drinks Trophy winner. And this guy, Lamar Hankins, was also considered one of the best all-time high school boxing boxers. And he also beat a guy by the name of Harvey Hoffpower from Crowley, who was the first boy to beat Jerry in the state tournament in 1946, and later got a chance to avenge that fight. And to kind of sum this all up, Jerry probably had a total of about probably between 55 and 60 fights. I'm not sure he really knows how many it was. He only lost three in all that time. And two of those matches, the guy that beat him, he had a chance to avenge those losses in later fights. And the other guy, he never got a chance to box him again. But two fellas, he did get a chance to box twice. He beat him the second time. So Jerry was a great one. And excuse me, one other thing I wanted to mention was that Jerry was also inducted into the Louisiana High School Boxing Association Hall of Fame this year.
Oh.
I'd like to. I'd like to read this before the council votes. Certificate of Commendation awarded to Jerry Besson in recognition of your outstanding accomplishments. The mayor and town council congratulate you for bringing honor and recognition to the town of Brule for your induction into the Louisiana High School Boxing Association Hall of Fame. Do I hear a motion?
Move.
Move by Mr. Bougeron, second by Mr. Andre. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Anybody in the audience have a comment? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay.
I think it's upwards of almost $18 trillion debt right now. We need to balance the budget. And time number four to pay down the debt, use that money on needless programs also to pay down the debt. Second of all, I am the only one in the healthcare field. It's in a race. I deal with Obamacare every day. My deal with that is to repeal and replace with conservative principles that put the patient and the doctor first. Premiums are going up. I have people coming in my office all the time that have lost their insurance. I just got a thing the other day. I'm in private practice, like I said, self-employed. I paid on insurance. I think it last counted was $752 a month for me and my wife and my kids, and it's going to double by January 1st. That's ridiculous. I'll be paying up to $1,400 a month, and that's with a $10,000 deductible. Third thing I'll push for hard, is religious liberty. You know, Christians are being persecuted all over the country, all over the world, and whether you're Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, you should be able to worship the way you see fit and the way your family sees fit. I am 100% pro-life, big supporter of the Second Amendment. I grew up hunting with my dad, learned how to shoot a gun by the time I was in elementary school, and I'll continue to push hard for hunters and people that are, you know, law-abiding citizens that continue to have their guns. I am a big believer in traditional marriage, and you know, continue to push for that also. Again, I thank you. Like I said, my name is Craig McCullough, candidate for Congress in the 6th District, and I appreciate your support in November. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay. We're on item number 5. Here, Margaret Pritchard, CPA with Baxter Associates, LLC, on the police audit. Now, for the members of the audience, I'd like to preface before Margaret, before I turn it over to Margaret, this is the way that we're going to try to have this thing go. First of all, Margaret is going to present the audit findings. Part of the audit package itself is the findings, recommendations, and then the management response. Richard Johnson and I have gotten together on the management responses. Rich is not here, but Paul Marino's staying in for him. At the conclusion of her findings, then we're going to go back to number one, and we're going to go over the management responses for those. At that point, her presentation will be over. I'll turn it over to council for any questions they may have for her or for Paul or I as it relates to the audit. Then, if the council chooses to, we'll have a motion to accept the audit, at which time I will open it up before the vote to comments from the audience. Anyone in the audience wishing to comment on the audit can do so at that time. We don't want to restrict anyone from asking questions or commenting on the contents of our audit. But we do want the thing to have a flow. That's why we like for Margaret to make her presentation. Then we respond to it as a community. Then the citizens and anybody else in the audience who wishes to discuss it can do so. With that, I'll turn it over to Margaret. Okay.
Well, first of all, I'd like to begin by saying thank you to the mayor and council members.
At this time, we're going to hand out the audit to the people in the audience since she's starting our presentation. It has not been accepted by our council yet, but it's the draft, so if you wish to follow along, we have plenty of copies. Go ahead.
Again, I'd like to begin by saying thank you to the mayor, to the council members. I appreciate the opportunity to allow my firm, Baxley & Associates, to come here and to prepare this report for you. As the mayor said, I'm Margaret Pritchard. I'm a CPA with Baxley & Associates. I also have two other CPAs working with me on that project from my office, Stacy Gilfrion and Matthew Berkelot, are also involved in the project. Again, the mayor contacted us, I guess it was around May or June of this year, and they designed a set of procedures. It was called agreed-upon procedures, agreed-upon guidelines. From those guidelines, we developed procedures, we discovered findings, and upon that, we make recommendations. And that's what I'm going to review with you tonight. So if you begin by looking at page one. Page one, our first guideline said police department compliance with the Town of Ruley Code of Ordinances, Chapter 4. So our procedures on that was basically we requested a list of the police officers during the period 2010 through 2014. There were 17 police officers. We were given the list of names and addresses. From that, I developed a questionnaire. The questionnaire is based upon the Chapter 4 Personnel Manual. And by the way, there is a blank copy of that questionnaire in your report as Attachment A. Developed the questionnaire. We sent out the questionnaire to the 17 police officers. We received a response. Completed questionnaires back to us in a self-addressed envelope. We received 7 responses out of 17. And the findings that we have on that can be noted on page 2, the top of page 2. These are the discrepancies we noted between the compliance questionnaire and Chapter 4 manual. 2 of the officers did not complete an 8-week post-academy. They are both full-time officers and are no longer current employees of the town. 2 of the officers chew or dip tobacco while on duty. All 7 of the officers agreed that their uniforms were not inspected daily. 3 of the officers confirmed that they did not dress in full uniform while in the courtroom. One officer stated that he had struck a prisoner while not in self-defense or executing a lawful arrest. He is a full-time employee and a current officer of the town. Two officers confirmed that they had no written report prepared and submitted to the chief of police for damaged or lost property belonging to the police department. All of these findings are not in compliance with the Town of Brule Code of Ordinances, Chapter 4. Our recommendation to the town would be for the mayor, for management, should review their police department personnel manual and enforce the codes on the police officers. Management should periodically inspect the police officers and prepare written reports when necessary. And just periodically make revisions and update your manual as deemed necessary. Our second guideline that we looked at, review of the police department officer inventory sheets. Again, we requested a list of the full-time officers. We examined the employee personnel files for these officer inventory sheets, and we also looked at their psychological evaluations. All of these files were located in a locked cabinet in the police department. The findings, the 17 full-time officers that were employed during that period, two officers did not have a personnel file. Four officers did not have officer inventory sheets in their personnel file. 10 officers did not have psychological evaluations. And of these 10, three of those officers are still currently employed by the Town of Brule. Again, we've included Attachment B. Attachment B are copies of the actual inventory sheets. It's for management's use to determine the completeness and the accuracy of these inventory sheets and determine if the equipment that was used by former officers, if this equipment has been returned back to the police department. Now, in order to protect, I guess, the officers, we have whited out the police officer's name. Just the way that it was filled out is included as an attachment fee to the report. Our recommendation is that the officer inventory sheet should be maintained for all officers. Inspections should be completed on a periodic basis. Psychological evaluations should be completed for all officers prior to the commencement of employment, and it should be kept in their personnel files. Personnel files should also be reviewed annually for completeness. Number three, our third guideline. Review of the police department SOP to determine if it conflicts with the Town of Brule ordinances. Well, first of all, SOP stands for Standard Operating Procedures. Basically, this was probably the most difficult one, I think, to do because you're looking at two documents. One document was the standard operating procedure, and the other one is the Town of Brule ordinances. And we were trying to see if the SOP was in compliance with the Town of Brule ordinances. And you will find under findings that we did have some omissions and discrepancies in that. The first one, under general policy, there was no reference to leave of absence without pay, workers' comp payments, outside employment, statutory allowance, salary supplements, group insurance for retirees, or for full-time employees. Number two, there was a reference to military leave in the SOP, providing an absence up to 14 days. However, in the ordinances, the leave of absence was up to 15 days. And there were various types of leave mentioned in the SOP, but there was no reference to civil leave or to funeral leave. The next category dealt with Social Security. In the SOP, there was no mention of Social Security declaration, execution of agreements, withholdings, contributions, or reports. The third category, retirement system. The SOP states that the retirement system should be provided by law or ordinance. There were no specifics related to memberships, withholdings, agents, or duties and qualifications. Drug and alcohol testing. In the SOP, there's reference to intoxicating liquor and drugs, habitual use of liquor and drugs, non-prescription drugs. However, there were no specific guidelines on laboratory testing, notice and consent of testing policies, tampering with the test procedures, or confidentiality of information. The next category, use of municipal vehicles. Section 2710 of the Town of Brule states that municipal vehicles should be used by the town officials only in the conduct of town business. The vehicle is to be used only in West Baton Rouge Parish with no passengers other than those that you're transporting to the jail or to the police department. The SOP states that units may be used during off-duty hours within West Baton Rouge Parish. The use of the vehicle outside the parish should have the approval by the chief of police or the assistant chief of police. Officers were allowed to transport family members and civilians in the take-home units. Unmarked vehicles can be used at any time in the parishes that connect to West Baton Rouge without prior approval. So you see that there were some significant variances between the SOP and the ordinances. The SOP appeared to be a little more lenient And then the last category was contracts. The SOP prohibits the officer from being affiliated with any organization that prevents him performing his duties as a police officer. The ordinance's references prohibited contractual agreements, assistance to certain persons after termination, exceptions, and enforcements. Again, our recommendation is that the standard operating procedures should be revised to include the missed details and categories that are included in the town of Ruley ordinances. The fourth guideline that we looked at, review all police department and related organization bank accounts and prepare receipts and disbursements for the period 2010 or prior, if so indicated, to the present time. We found that there were two bank accounts, the Ruley Auxiliary Police Department account and the Ruley Police Department Savings Account. Those are the two accounts that we analyzed. The Ruley Auxiliary account went from September 2007 to March 2014. The savings account was from the period 2005 to 2008. We examined receipts and disbursements in these accounts. We looked at certain attributes in testing the cash disbursements. Those attributes included the proper period, proper amount, proper signatures, invoice support, and two signatures are required on all checks. Also, we do have an attachment with this. We have attachment C, which is basically an analysis of the receipts and the disbursements that went in and out of each of these accounts. That attachment C is for the auxiliary account and for the savings account. Under our findings, first of all, the auxiliary account. It's noted that the auxiliary account is not an audited account. It's not affiliated or controlled by the town or Ruley governing authority. There were 10 disbursements in this account, and we're going to note some of the findings. In January 2008, a check was written to Goodwood Hardware in the amount of $543. The description on the invoice said that the purchase was for a fry, cutter, and paddles. Two signatures were on that check. April 2009, a disbursement was made to AT&T for $502 and another one for $8. There was only one authorized signatory on both of those checks. June 2009, a check written to Guitar Center for $754. The invoice description stated the purchase was for a speaker and a five-channel programmer. There was only one signature on that check. July 2009, a check written to Cash in the amount of $700. Description on the check was for a back-to-school function. There was no invoice support and only one signature on that check. September 2009, a check was written to Cash in the amount of $600. Description on the check said this was for jambalaya ingredients. No invoice support. The check did have two signatures. Per discussion with management, the validity of the second signature is subject to criminal charges being brought about as a result of the State Inspector General investigation. In December 2009, a check was written to Cash in the amount of $200. The description on the check said to be used for Christmas party. There was no invoice. The check did include two signatures. Again, discussion with management said the validity of the second signature, again, is subject to criminal charges. That takes care of the auxiliary account. Now we look at the savings account. In the savings account, there were four receipts from Richard Ward's office, one receipt from City Court of Plattman. But in this account, we're dealing more with drug money, drug funds. According to the state guidelines for handling confidential funds, all items should be classified as a purchase of services, purchase of evidence, or purchase of information. An activity log or ledger should be maintained. The ledger should be reconciled quarterly. Vouchers should be maintained. Within this state guideline, there were numerous example forms, such as the activity log, a transaction record of each confidential fund advance, receipt from informant of payment for future purchase. Those are just a few of the forms that were examples in this guideline. We examined none of those forms. None of those forms were available. We didn't see any evidence of any of these forms. In regards to the disbursements in the savings account, November 2005, a cashier check was made to Truck Vault for $1,607. The invoice description was for an Expedition Mag 2-drawer. January 2006, a cashier check was made to Nexcom for $257. June 2006, a cashier check was made to Mike Gerald Trailer Depot for $959. The invoice description was a 6x14 McLean utility trailer. In September, October, November 2007, a cashier check was made to AT&T for various amounts. It was the same wireless phone number on all three of these invoices. December 2007, a savings withdrawal was made for $600. The description on the withdrawal slip read, drug by money. March 2008, a savings withdrawal was made for $625. No detail on the reason or the purpose of this withdrawal. Again, it appears that bank accounts were maintained outside of the governance of the town of Brule and were not incorporated into the town's audit. Due to the lack of enforced support, proper authorization, proper signatures, generally accepted county principles were not followed. Our recommendation, all bank accounts should be maintained and accounted for within the financial statements of the town of Brule Police Department. Our disbursements should have proper support. And what does that include? Proper authorized signatures, proper approval, reason for disbursement, invoice support. In addition, the town should follow the state guidelines for handling confidential funds whenever the funds involve drug funds. Number five, our fifth guideline that we tested, was the review of the police department disbursements of $500 or greater commencing in 2010. And the items that were capitalized, we wanted to determine if they are still in the possession of the police department. If they're not in the possession of the police department, we want to see if they went through the proper channels of disposition. Our procedures, we requested a general ledger for disbursements of $500 or greater, which is going to be attachment D in your report. We examined them, we looked at supporting documentations. We examined supporting documentations for each transaction and questioned the police department on certain items to see if it was in their possession. We physically examined the items. Disposition of items that were not in the possession of the police department were examined, and the disposition of these items was confirmed. We basically looked at about 110 transactions. Of those transactions, we had a couple of discrepancies. The first one, the emergency police lights were purchased by the police department on September 29, 2010 and placed on a personal vehicle of a fellow police officer as authorized by the chief of police. The invoice stated the emergency lights were installed on a police unit that was in the possession of the police department at the time. The Brule Police Department is currently in the process of trying to retrieve these lights back from that individual. And the second finding was a 5 global positioning system units were purchased by the police department on August 2013. When purchased, the units were connected to the police cars in the police department. May of 2014, town officer was instructed by chief of police to remove these units, these GPS units, from the police cars. Units were placed in a locked drawer in the police station. Only 4 of the GPS units could be examined. We were not able to find or locate or physically examine the 5th unit. So 4 out of the 5 of those were examined. Our recommendation, all capital items that are presently in the police department's possession should be accounted for and maintained by the police department. All inventory of capital assets should be completed periodically in order to maintain physical and internal control of these major capital items. If the capital item is no longer beneficial to the police department, the item should be disposed of in a legal and appropriate manner as set forth by Louisiana Revised Statutes 49-125. In regards to the police cars, any improvements or additions that are made to the police cars should also be maintained. These should be reviewed periodically and inspected to make sure that it still has those improvements and additions. Guideline number 6 on page 7. Review the police department purchases of firearms and track them to the current inventory of firearms or their legal, or follow through to their legal disposition. We requested a complete list of firearms. We received several lists and some of them were duplicated, so we consolidated and made one complete list of all the firearms. That can be found in attachment E. There were approximately 49 firearms on attachment E. Out of the 49, we were able to physically examine 29 of those firearms. What you have under findings here are the 20 that we could not locate, that were missing, that we were not able to physically examine. So we examined 29 out of 49 of those firearms. And then on page, so our recommendation again on that is an annual inventory of firearms should be conducted in order to maintain an accurate record of firearms that are present in the police department's possession. Any firearm that is to be discarded should be disposed of again in a legal and appropriate manner as required by Louisiana Revised Statutes. And the last guideline that we had was basically just to meet with the mayor and with Mr. Richard to give him an update, apprise him on the status of our progress. And we did that both face-to-face, we did it through email, we did it through phone calls. So that was our last guideline. The only other thing I wanted to point out to you, just to go through briefly, the attachments. Attachment A, again, was just the blank questionnaire that we mailed out. Attachment B are the inventory sheets as prepared by the officers without the officers' names. Attachment C was the ruling of Villeray Police Department, Excel spreadsheet of their activity and also the savings account. Attachment D were the police department disbursements of $500 or greater. And then attachment E is our consolidated list of firearms. If it has an E next to it, that means we physically examined it. If it has a dash, that means we were not able to locate that item. It was missing. That concludes my presentation. And I'll turn it over to the mayor for his response.
All right, thank you. Paul, why don't you come up to the podium in case you need to talk. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go from 1 through 6. I'm not going to go, I'm just going to briefly describe the heading. And then I'm going to read word for word the management response, and then Paul and I will provide editorial comment or just additional comments as necessary. First one is police department compliance with the Town of Ruley Code of Ordinance Chapter 4 personnel. That was the one that went through officers with the questionnaires and their responses to the questionnaires, and including, you know, post-certification, things like that. The response is, management response is as follows. Management concurs with the finding. Management is in the process of rewriting the SOP to include only the police department relevant information. Management has already reinforced the need to follow good practices already part of the department policy and will follow up to assure those policies are adhered to in the future. Management will provide blunt force training and any other training necessary. All current officers have post-training documentation. I would like to say that I would like for Paul to address. I know in the audit there's a couple of places that have said we didn't have psyche valves and we didn't have post-certification and certain documentation. And I'd like for Paul to tell us what the status of the officers that we now have on the force are as far as their records and all that to give some assurance that what's going on.
100% of our current employees have post-certifications, pre-employment psychological evaluations that have positively resulted positively, so we can forward on to the council. Everybody's current on all certifications and whatnot. We're good to go.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that? Yes, ma'am.
When they talk about management, you talking about the police chief?
Well, that's a good point.
Management really means the whole town. You know, it could be in some cases it's actions that the chief of police will take. In some cases, it's the mayor and administration will take. Depends on what it is. This one is almost exclusively police department. It, you'll find later on there are things that the administration of the town will handle, and they'll become obvious as we go along. But if you have any questions about who's handling which one, sometimes it'll be both. Just as they come up, let us know. But this one, I would say, is exclusively the police department.
I assume a lot of the day-to-day management of corrections take place within the department itself. The administration and council has no authority.
That's right. And some of the items like, you know, uniforms and, you know, things that are in the, that were in the SOP, the audit was just saying, if you're going to put it in, if you're going to put it in a document, just go ahead and do it. That's what it really says. If you're going to tell your officers that you're going to inspect the uniforms every day, do it. If you don't want to do it every day, just take it out of the SOP. So that's what they'll be working on.
Right.
And I don't want to jump, let's go to the next one. I think the next one's going to be cover that. Review the police department officer inventory sheets. That was the one where each officer is supposed to have a sheet of what they checked out and what they have, and when they leave, it's supposed to be one checking out that they returned everything. Management agrees with this finding, effective immediately, all personnel files will be maintained by the town clerk. All relevant documentation will be contained in one personnel file. All current officers have up-to-date psychological evaluations in their personnel files. With regard to inventory sheets, all officers, full-time and reserve, have returned all town-owned property. Equipment has been reissued and witnessed by two witnesses in the new inventory sheets, and the new inventory sheets has been started for each officer. Management will reinforce inventory sheet policy. Management will attempt to recover equipment issued to former officers if there is no documentation of return of their equipment. Now, this is one of those ones where both administration and the police department have responsibility. What we discovered in this thing was that the town has an employee manual and the police department had a standard operating procedure. But in the standard operating procedure, they referenced things that are common to all the employees. For example, benefits, insurance, things like that. So what we have decided is that we are rewriting the personnel manual. The personnel manual will apply to every employee in the town. Everybody works for the town. That will be provided by management, by the administration. And I'm going to bring it to the council, and the council's going to approve it. That will be the higher tier document. Any department that wishes to have a standard operating procedure, those standard operating procedures will only address things that are unique to their department. For example, their SOP may have it how to handcuff a prisoner, how to write a ticket, things like that. Those don't have anything to do with anything but police department. In my department, we already have a procedure on how we process tickets until they paid and all this other stuff. We have other things in maintenance with how we handle drainage issues and all. We have our own internal documents. So what we're going to do is reinforce having the personnel manual address every employee and the lower tier documents address only departments. And if you want to add to that.
Exactly like you said. Things specific to us, we don't need to know about drainage or how to run a backhoe and things like that. We're focusing on police issues and police issues only in our SOP. It doesn't trump the town's policy.
I just want to make it clear too that the day-to-day function of the police department falls directly under the police chief, not the mayor and the council. We the mayor and the council administration does not get involved in the day-to-day function of the police chief.
Not because we don't want to.
Right, that's just by law.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on that? Okay. The next item was in reference to the SOP. Same subject. Let me just read the management response and we'll see if we've got anything different. Management agrees with this finding. To avoid duplication and confusion, the town of Bruley will have only one personnel manual. Personnel manual will contain information applicable to all employees. The police department will rewrite the department SOP to contain items only relevant to conduct and policies of the police personnel. Management will assure that there are no conflicts between the two documents. The vehicle use policy will be included in the town manual, personnel manual. Management will assure compliance with all approved documents. I think that's a repeat of what we just talked about, in case anybody. But we were having issues with the use of personnel. There was a direct conflict between the police department policy and the town ordinance. And the town ordinance is of a higher tier that should have been followed, but that has been changed already and will be enforced. Okay. The next item is review all personnel related bank accounts and prepare a summary of receipts and disbursements. That's the two accounts. One of them was a police auxiliary account and the other one was the drug account. It was called the savings account. And Margaret went through all the disbursements, and I won't go over that again. The manager agrees with this finding. All police department banking accounts have been closed. Transactions in those accounts are subject to pending criminal charges. No accounts will be opened by or for the benefit of any department unless that account is subject to the same policies and procedures of all other transactions in town, and the accounts are included in the annual audit. That's basically following the recommendation of the auditor. We should be following the state law in all accounts, not have outside accounts that are not accounted for.
So all police accounts are closed now?
All closed.
As of today?
They've had
no new accounts have been opened as of today?
No. They were closed quite a while ago, and they're not going to be reopened. Now, I'd like to make a point right here that's editorial. The two accounts we're talking about, one account was money that was raised for the intent, and the auxiliary account for the intent of the police officers. What I mean by that is an auxiliary account, just like we, the fire department has a volunteer fire department, things like that, is the money that was raised, even though there may not be a written charter, it's an understanding, a fiduciary understanding, that it was to the benefit of the police officers. Have a party, a Christmas party, or buy them some vests, or just different things. Like, it happens all the time in the fire department, and it works well. One of the things that's disturbing to me about the withdrawals from this account is I cannot find one police officer that has ever worked here who has ever attended any function held by the police auxiliary. Yet there's expenditures for all kinds of stuff. You can read them yourself. It's very disturbing because the money was raised from donations from businesses in the community. And so, to me, that's a violation of some type of a trust, even if it's not, even regardless how the criminal charges come out. The second item is also disturbing because that is, as Margaret said, that's actually a drug account. What the laws are geared to do is to put extremely tight controls on money that is received from drug enforcement. The intent is to have a very, very controlled flow of the money to make sure that whatever is received from a drug heist or whatever you call it, and it goes into an account that the only way it can go out is for specifically for drug enforcement. He worked for the DEA. Our former chief was a drug agent and all that stuff. Anybody who's in that business knows that that's the way it's supposed to be. Yet the things that were withdrawn from this account have no records whatsoever that are required by these guidelines. For example, let's say you have a drug buy and you want to give a snitch $500. There's a specific way to do that. And it's very, very tightly controlled to make sure that this money is accounted for, just so you can avoid instances like we hear today. Somebody got to say, where'd all this drug money go? Well, we don't know where. But it's very disturbing that it's not there anymore, and I won't go into the criminal part of it, but there can be very little, in my mind, there can be very little explanation for this, considering the experience of the people involved in this, as far as the drug business. Paul, you have anything you want to add?
I'm going to repeat what you just said, no.
All right, let's see what we've got, where we are. Thank you, Council. All right, we all reviewed the police department disperses $500 or greater, et cetera, et cetera. We went through that. She went through the ones that we can't find. Manager responses. Manager agrees with this finding. The emergency police lights have been recovered. We will continue to pursue the GPS unit. A complete inventory of all police equipment is in progress. By the time we move into the new station, every item will be listed on inventory and many items will be auctioned off. Inventory of all town equipment will be reviewed on a periodic basis and maintained by management. In this case, management will be an inventory of the police department, will be maintained by the police department. Inventory of everything else will be maintained by the town. But I expect that we'll have a lot more transparency on both of them.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are we still looking for stuff?
Yes. We have ATF traces being done on several of the firearms, and we're waiting replies back from ATF to figure out where the paper trail ends. So that'll give us some guidance as far as where to look.
With, I guess part of that, later on tonight, we have on the agenda where we're going to declare a very long list of things surplus and set a minimum price and have an auction. We have an auction on November 1st. And Debbie, did you hand out those lists yet? They're on the table. There's a list on the table, and there's this part of a page is maintenance, and I have a page like this and another page like this for firearms, and then the rest of this document is all police department stuff. Now, if you take a look at that list, you will be happy to know we're having an auction, because we're going to have, if you're an outdoorsman, we're going to have all kinds of stuff for you to bid on. you have a bicycle, your cyclist, we have stuff for that. Your cook, we have all kinds of pots and pans and stuff. You need clothes, we have all kinds of clothes for sale. Specific sizes, especially Under Armour shirts. Tools, we have a myriad of tools, air compressors, impact wrenches, jigsaws, compressors, just whatever you want. Extension cords, we have 3 generators for sale. If you have one electronics, we have televisions, earphones, microphones, DVD players and recorders, 11 cameras, 9 laptops and pads, 9 cell phones. We have all kinds of stuff. Oh, we, if you're in the cow business, we have 2 hot shots. In case you want a hot shot, you got it.
All this will be published for the
and it's
town.
Already available. We're going to have an auction. If the council approves it tonight, we're going to have an auction. But to answer you, the undertones of your question, which I know exactly what you're asking, there was a lot of stuff purchased in the police department over the several years. And when we got the new chief in there, he took a look at what we had. And the previous chief returned a lot of stuff from his house. And the list you see is stuff that the present police chief feels is no longer needed in the police department. So it's best if you just look at the auction list and you'll get a feel for exactly how extensive it is. Because we limited the audit to $500 or greater. But these are all items that are probably less. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Okay.
With the ATF tracing, are you just going to get a list that when they finish tracing, are you being notified as they find some of these?
No, we hadn't received any information from them yet. It's, from what I hear, it's 1 or 2 people doing all of those paperwork checks. So I'm guessing once they get them all, they'll give me a packet.
Okay. Well, that brings us into the next review of the police department purchase of firearms and the current inventory and see if they're still there. And as Margaret said, they were not able to find 20 of them. I think probably 7 of them are the subject of criminal stuff we've recovered. 6 out of 7 and 1 we'll never recover. Is that correct?
Correct. One of them, there's a death report.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's on file for that particular weapon.
All right. The management response is management agrees with this finding. Of the 20 missing firearms, 6 have been recovered. 1 will never be recovered. Of the remaining 13, the Inspector General's office is assisting the town in the location of possible recovery of these firearms. Management agrees with the recommendation with regard to the following state law, Louisiana's right by statute 40-17-98, and the disposal of all town equipment. What that by statute really is just if you're going to get rid of equipment, no matter if it's owned by the public, you have to come to the council and request that it be declared surplus and set a minimum value. And there's no records or that Margaret could find that these 20 firearms had ever been properly disposed of, and they're actually just missing. So we're trying to find them. I really can't predict whether we will or not. So we'll leave that up to the police department to help us on that. Okay. That is the report. That is the management responses. With that, I will ask the council if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make at this time. And I'll entertain a motion to accept the audit, unless you want to edit.
I just want to thank the office staff for working with Margaret, because they did have to spend a lot of time coordinating inventory and bills, the invoices, and I know that took a lot of time from what they do on their day-to-day work. So I think they need to be commended for working with her to get that done.
As well as the police department staff, right?
Oh, yeah. Anybody else? Well, I'd like to say that I know he's in Houston, so he might be listening to me. But he's talking to me on Skype. It has been very, very refreshing to myself, and I think I can speak to the council members, the openness and the willingness for Chief Richard Johnson to come in and get it right, whatever right is. This audit is we have hopes that this audit will be the thing that will turn the page, and this thing that's just passed will be in our rearview mirror. I can tell you from my personal observation that there have been many, many changes made over there, and I'm talking about management, material, everything else. and it's a much better situation now than we had before. And we really want to have things cleaned up and ready to go for when the new chief, whoever that is, in November is elected. With that, I'll entertain a motion if you wish to accept the motion.
I just have one thing. We discussed this at a previous meeting. The scope of our audit was mainly to draw the proverbial line in the sand, if you will, for our next police chief. To uncover whatever we had out there that we could bring it to light, solve the problems, create new policies for the new administration that's coming in. So, you know, the whole scope of this was to draw that line in the sand. So hopefully we have that, and both the candidates for police chief are here. So hopefully they'll take whatever recommendations that we've made and put them into place and keep things on the up and up.
And I have to say that shortly after this thing broke, I had three different council members come to my office individually and request that we do just what we did here. Because the one thing that this council did not want to have happen was give the impression that we were hiding anything or we were sweeping anything under the rug. These five people here wanted the public to know, if it's ugly, look at it, if it's good, look at it, but we want a clean slate for when the new guy comes in. And so hopefully with that, I think I have high confidence it will be accomplished. Wait, Richard wants to say something. Say it again.
He says, can you get me to a microphone? I feel like a mini me.
No. How does that work? Oh, yeah, you got to get it inside.
Where is the microphone?
I think it's in the bottom.
Yeah, you're listening, so it's going to be at the earpiece.
I can hear you.
Can't hear you. Let somebody young. So anybody here that less than 25 years old? So we'll know how to operate this thing. We got too many old people in here. Terry, can you know how to operate on this fancy thing?
I haven't.
You're the only one that got here.
Oh,
I'm
there.
Yeah, I just want to make a correction before they vote on that. Under number one is the use of force training, not law force training.
Oh.
And that was under the first finding, Paul.
Right.
And I just want to say for the record, we concur with the audit findings and, you know, the employees along with the town. I'd like to thank the town employees too, because we identified most of the issues prior to the audit, I think, and just needed the auditors to help us get through it and assist us with the information. And I also, this is probably a remarkable personal privilege, but I won't talk again. Please don't stay on the counter for long, or the bull whip to Rosa's deli, please. And then on a serious note, look, I'd like to let everybody know, thank you guys, that we will continue to provide quality police service to everyone until we get somebody in there to remember. So thank you guys. I'll hang around for the rest of the meeting, but I won't talk again. Thank you, Chief.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
I'll move that we accept the audit.
With the changes.
With
yeah.
Instead of
one fourth. All right. Move Ms. Blue Cross Second, Mr. Richard. Any further discussion from the council?
But not including Stella.
Yeah. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none. Let's do a roll call.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Blue
Cross. Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Rose.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
All right.
Also, I'd like to thank the auditors.
Yes, thank you very much.
Tedious, not fun.
Well, it's kind of like a little bit out of their territory. I mean, that's not normal. It's usually the numbers. They crunch numbers, but it's crunching other stuff. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And,
having to deal with me and Richard, you know, it's different. All right. We're back on the agenda, I think.
Yes.
Approval of minutes of the regular meeting of August 11th. Given in your package. Move on, Ms. Bourgeois.
Second,
Mr. Niesler. Any comments from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. committees. Public Works, consider authorizing the mayor to sign a contract with Gulf Coast Underground for sewer manhole repairs. We discussed it at our committee meeting last week. We have a $25,000 grant, and after, you know, doing our due diligence, we came up with Gulf Coast Underground as the contractor we'd like to go with, in the amount of $25,000, not to exceed, because that's what our grant amount is.
Move.
Move, Mr. Andre.
Second.
Second, Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Consider change order number 3, police station construction, again discussed last week, in the amount of $9,915.82. For additional power, wiring furniture, installing security grills, stuff, various stuff.
So move.
Move by Ms. Bourgeois.
Second.
Second, Mr. Neesman. Any comments from the council? Hearing none, any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Okay, planning and zoning, consider final plat of map showing subdivision of tract HT2 into tract HT2A and lots 51A through 77A, located in section 55, Worth Township, 8 South, range 12 East, Southeast Land District, west of West Mississippi River Bridge, town, Mississippi River, town of Brule, West Baton Rouge Parish, Louisiana, for Richard G. Sonia. And you have, it's very hard to read, but we have basically 2 sketches for that, right? And those, they were both favorably reported out of the planning commission. There was a, by a majority, I should say, majority of those present. And it was discussed last week, and if anyone has any comments or your motion.
Move.
Mr. Andre. Second, Mr. Richard. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Next item, consider final plat of map showing subdivision of tract HT1 into tract HT1A, lot HT1B, and lots lots 41A through 50A, located in section 55, township 8 South, range 12 East, Southeast Land District, west of Mississippi River, town of Brule, West Baton Rouge, for Louisiana, for Hubert Thibodeau. And that would be basically the land behind phase 3 of that subdivision back there, so.
Identical to what we just did.
Identical, just a different piece of property, different owner.
So move.
Move, Ms. Bourgeois.
Second.
Second, Mr. Rose. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Finance committee authorize, consider authorizing Liberty National Insurance sales to employees. Be authorizing the town to withhold the amount of money they need to pay their premiums as a voluntary program. Nothing provided by the town, and we have premiums. Hear your motion?
So move.
Move by Ms. Bourgeois.
Second.
Second, Mr. Neesman. Any further comments from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. I don't have anything in personnel, I don't have anything in recreation. Police, we've already taken up, unless you have something else, Paul. I don't have nothing in governmental affairs. No vetoes, ordinances, hearing and final action on ordinances. Ordinance number 8 says to amend and reenact zoning district map under section 1922 map, chapter 19 of the Code of Ordinances of the town of Brule, Louisiana, including but not limited to the following matters. The amendment and readoption of the official zoning map of the town of Brule, Louisiana. All we're doing is just putting a, just adopting a new map. With that, I'll open a public hearing. Any comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to council for consideration.
I'm going to reach out.
Mr. Rose. Second by Mr. Neesman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Roll call. Yeah, roll call.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Neesman.
Yes.
Councilmember Rose.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Okay. We're on number 10, introduction of ordinances. Ordinance 9 of 2014, for Mr. James Sorrell to subdivide his property at 653 East Main Street.
Rezone.
My bad. Rezone, you're right.
The property is currently zoned C1, light commercial. He's putting in a rezoning request to have it rezoned to R1, single family residence.
That was the daycare place across from Daniel Farms.
Yeah, this is just to introduce it now. This isn't taking action. We got a long way to go before we take. Yeah, it'll be a long time. He drags out for his own rezone. Anybody like to introduce? All right, Mr. Neesman. Rules. No bad tonight. All right, resolution accommodation, we've already done a resolution, item B, resolution 5. Declare surplus movable property for sale at public auction disposal of, if not sold, and set auction date. Okay, this is the non-fund stuff. It's the longest, the big list. All right, now you have a list there. It's been provided to you. We need to remove one item, don't we?
I didn't find it on there, so I don't think that would be.
That white trailer that they have all the stuff in right now.
I didn't see it on here.
Look at the third item in the bottom of the last sheet.
The cover trailer?
That's a utility. That's an open utility.
No, no, the second one from the bottom is the utility.
Okay, you're right.
We take the cover trailer off?
Yeah, take it off.
Do you have that on the sheet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want to go into why we've taken?
No, yeah, we gotta go into why. We would like to sell it to the West Baton Rouge Parish School District for $1,000. Can we authorize the sale tonight?
Only if you unanimously amend the agenda to add that to it.
All right, we'll take that up after. Y'all remind me after. But let's go ahead with this item since this item is over. So per the list attached, do I hear a motion to approve resolution number 5 minus the trailer?
Cover trailer.
Cover trailer.
I move.
Who, Mr. Andre?
Second.
Second, Mr. Neesman. Any further discussion?
Just one quick thing.
Okay.
I think we discussed at the committee meeting, we're not putting minimums on any of this stuff other than the $1 stuff that you have up here. So we can just sell it surplus and get it going.
Yeah, it says on the resolutions that we can dispose of it if it doesn't sell. But that's important to me. I don't know if it's important to everybody else. We discovered some stuff today that we don't, you know, like we love that money today if we could.
Would that money go into a police department?
No, it goes into general fund. I mean, general. Yes, we have a miscellaneous income line item, but, you know, we always start the year with miscellaneous, like $100. By the end of the year, we always have something we collect money for that we don't expect. So we put it in there, and either in the middle or the latter part of the year, we amend the agenda to just change the miscellaneous income to something else.
It's a legitimate account.
Yeah, miscellaneous is a line item. Audited. All right, we have a motion and a second, right? Don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So any further comments? Anybody? Any comments from the audience? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Aye, say aye. Okay, resolution number 6 is declare surplus weapons for sale to class 3 firearm dealer and set a minimum price.
Question?
Yep.
On that, the class 3, we got two talking about weapons. We got one with the class 3, that the automatic. Now, on the next one, is that the rest, and we can sell to the public? So really, just the automatics have to go to a class 3 dealer?
That's correct.
Not just a whole package?
These three guns, right?
So just the three guns on that?
That's it.
That was certain level of class, firearm license to buy.
That's why we have a separate resolution.
Resolutions in your packet, it spells out exactly.
I just wanted to.
That's why we have the separate resolution.
That can be exactly how.
And that's on the advice of Richard and the auctioneer and pretty much everybody knows they do it.
We lost.
Oh.
But he was at 15% work hour about an hour ago.
Yes.
The resolution number five on setting the auction date.
Oh, yeah, we did set it.
It's in there on November 1st.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Well, I did say Mitch set the auction date, and it was that resolution was per.
It says November 1st, just for the record.
Okay, everybody else is correct, and you just could look at it. I wouldn't be surprised if I forgot. I do tend to jump ahead a little bit, but anyway, all right, we're trying to do resolution number six right now, right? All right, so the answer to change questions is these three guns and these three prices, correct? All right, do I have a motion here? Move by Ms. Bourgeois, second by Mr. Richo.
I'm gonna be the minimum bid guy again.
All right.
Just for the record, the minimum bids were set by Richie and.
Yeah.
And people that know about guns. We didn't just pull this out of the air.
Wasn't me, no, it was people on it.
Right, but if you would ask me, I have no earthly idea, so we did do some research.
You did search for it.
Yeah, Richie understands what guns cost.
Fair market value.
Right, so.
Let me say, Richard, Wayne and I got on the phone, and we called the auctioneer, and we discussed packaging them together, you know, all the guns together, part them together and all that stuff. And the auctioneer advised us to put these up for auction separately, because you'll draw a lot of collectors. These things are not available to everybody according to him. These are rare. So if you get it in auction environment, you're gonna get more than 1,500 of those two and four of them. That's what he suggested. Now with the other guns, he was saying if you package all of these guns together, you might have people come in and they say, oh, I want two guns, but I don't want the rest of them. You know, so it's more of a pain in the butt for them to buy them as a package. So he said, just auction them off and throw them out there. He said, guns, you can never tell. One of them might sell for cheap, and then the next one you'll sell five times what you thought it was, because you have two or three people that really want that gun. So he dispersed, he was saying Jefferson Parish Police Department had some like 300 guns one time, something they wanted to get rid of legally, you know. He said, man, they had people come out of woodwork looking for guns, you know. And for some, he was saying that, and Richard said that police department guns for some reason are more in demand than others because they never shoot them.
Well,
they shoot them 30.
What makes them marketable is there's a record. Every time we shoot, there's a record. So the life cycle of that gun, you know exactly how many rounds were through it and what kind of life it had. So that's what makes them more marketable.
Yeah. So which one are we on? One, the second one, right? Yeah, six. All right. Do you have a motion yet?
Yeah.
Motion is second. Okay. Any further comments from the council? Any comments from the audience? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Ayes have it. All right. Resolution seven, declare surplus weapons for sale at public auction. Background checks done by the auctioneer and set minimum price. Now, that's it. Okay. So that was according to the same list. I mean, the list is broad in the package. Yes, it's shorter.
Move
Mr. Andre.
I second.
Second, Mr. Rhodes.
He stumbles on my second all the time.
Yeah, but I'm thinking. Jeez, when you mind, you can't think that fast. All right, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed nay. Ayes have it. I will ask the council members to refrain from laughing at the elderly mayor. Resolution number eight, LMA endorsed constitutional amendments resolution. As I said last week, we were asked by the LMA to endorse these two amendments. Basically, what it makes it easier for other places besides us to deal with blighted property. They have problems in large cities and stuff, and they just ask us to do it as a favor out of the problem.
Someone.
Mr. Niesman. Second, Mr. Rhodes.
Yeah, I'll second, sir.
All in favor say aye. I just wanted to show you I can remember your name. Is there any comments or any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay, the ayes have. Okay, police department report.
All right. We have 8 wrecks, 15 bench warrant arrests, 1 simple battery arrest, 1 disturbing the peace arrest,
one theft report, four business alarms, three residence alarms, 12 assist other agencies, four traffic arrests, and 31 miscellaneous calls.
Any questions? Comments? All right. Correspondence, I had none. Mayor's report, I have a few items. Benzol generator is done. It's been turned over to us. It was done with a grant, but he put in several generators all over the parish. Eileen Street catch basin is done. They're washing out the road. We had a crisis today in the COVID program behind Eileen Street. One of the residents called in and said, you know, I had a 30-inch COVID behind my house, and they put in a 24. So we went out there, and sure enough, nobody can explain, nobody, Jason, Pee-wee, people who work in there, why the sketch, they didn't follow the sketch, but they started putting 24-inch culverts in about 600 feet too early. So they got to go and pull them all out and put 30 inches back in. That's going to be a mess. You can mark it down, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess, but they decided that. And Richard and Bree to help me. We had our Purple Heart flags come in. Clay Roden had suggested Purple Heart flags. We have 12 people out of our group in the front there that actually had a Purple Heart. And so we ordered about 15 of them for the future. But we're going to hang these next time we hang the flags up. They'll be like the POW flags. They'll like hang below. We'll just spread them out throughout town. They really look nice. I think that's purple. But it's something new. I'm going to do it by again. You took it from?
No, but if you would like to use it.
No, I gotta have one.
You bound it up into that?
I may have. I don't know what I did. Where is it?
You mean they have a short man report?
Hope not.
Can I make a motion?
Well, I'm serious. I don't know what happened to it. Oh, here it is. There it is, right there. Okay. I attended a tour that Dow gave on the three units that they are building out there, many, many dollars, and it's very impressive. I attended today at 11 o'clock the sixth anniversary of the forming of the Senior Spirit. It was a full house. It was nice. That lady made a nice talk about history. And you need to keep Richard Johnson in your prayers. He has surgery tomorrow.
Ten.
He's getting prepped and all. That's where he was on the phone. He was in Houston. Major surgery. With that, remarks of personal privilege. Anyone?
Mayor.
Yeah.
We need to
do the trailer.
Yeah.
The what?
Who's supposed to remind?
The trailer taking
out. Oh yeah.
The mine is supposed to remind me. I would like to ask the council to amend the agenda to add an item that we would authorize the sale of the covered trailer to the West Baptist Parish School Board.
And declare it surplus.
And surplus in that. Yeah. Okay.
So moved.
I'll second.
Eastwood, second by Ms. Bourgeois. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, roll call vote. Well, I'm so used to correcting me, I'm correcting even when I'm right.
This is just to add to the agenda, right?
Just to add
to the
agenda, that's right.
Councilmember Yeastler?
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Yes.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
Okay. For the public's information, we have a trailer that we were going to auction off. Mr. Kneesler did the math and figured if it was depreciated, how much per 20% a year? 20% a year from its original price, it would be close to $1,000, a little bit more than $1,000. I called Mr. Watts at the superintendent. If the school had the high school had verbally requested it to haul equipment around, and we told them we couldn't give it to them, although we lied, I'd like to give it to them. We couldn't give it to them by law. So this, I would ask a motion that authorize, declare that trailer surplus and authorize selling it to the West Midrash Parish School System for $1,000.
So moved.
Who will Mr. Neesler, second by Mr. Richard. Any discussion from the council? Any comments from the audience?
So they're selling to the school board itself?
Yeah, it's a public entity.
Yeah, it can't be to the school.
The school.
And they're going to do it internally and make sure it gets West Coast School. I talked to Mr. Watson, so.
Okay.
All right. Have a motion of second. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Okay, we're back to the remarks and personal privilege. Anyone? Mr. Schroeder.
On the zoning ads that we put in the West Side Journal, and Patricia says she's putting, when there's a change, a zoning request, the name of the property owner is not listed on the ads.
It will be in this next one that we're doing.
Okay.
And it will be from now on.
Well, she said she says, but the paper's not putting it. It was a name.
It was, I don't know, we haven't had one since 2012.
I know that.
Okay?
Okay, second thing is, on the resolution of five, it says, whereas the date for public auction will not be earlier than November 1st. So y'all have assigned November 1st then? Because this just says no earlier than November 1st.
Well.
Is that?
We need to change it. We have to go through all that again.
Well, I mean, you want me to rescind that?
No, it's got to be done right. Okay. Resolution number five. All right, what do we have to do? Reopening the agenda to number five again? Or we have to change, amend the agenda to go back to five? What do we got to do?
Let's go back to five.
All right, we're going to reopen agenda item 11B, resolution number five, declare surplus movable property for sale at public auction disposal, and if not sold, set auction date.
The printed resolution that's in your packet says not earlier than November 1st.
Yeah.
It verbally said that the date of the auction was going to be November 1st, but you've actually adopted this, and so what you probably just want to do is amend the statement for the public record. You've already voted on this resolution.
Okay, why don't you tell us what the motion is, and then somebody will say, yeah.
I don't think you need to make a motion. I think you just need to clarify your verbal statements that were made earlier in reference to your resolution number five. You've already adopted this one.
Yeah, whatever you say. What do you want us to do? You want us to vote on anything?
No.
Okay, so it says before November 1st, but we're not going to do that. That's kind of sounds like SOP earlier tonight. We wrote it down, but we're not going to do that. Doesn't it? Sounds that like that to me?
Well, no, y'all are not setting the date, you're just saying it won't be earlier than November 1st.
But it's going to be.
It's going to be on November 1st, so it's not earlier.
Oh, okay. On the other side, yeah, all right, got it. All right. Thank you, Rosa. Next.
That's it.
Never mind.
I'm sure you're here for the council.
I really think that Richard was wrong about one thing he said tonight. I think we should include the cattle prod. Or Rosa, only to be sold to Richard Johnson. Reserved for Richard Johnson to be, to have and hold with Rosa in the tin.
Don't we have two of them?
Give each one one. Put them in a room.
It's like a taser for a cat.
All right. Announcements, Oldies but Goodies Fest, September 13th and 14th on the grounds of West Baton Rouge Parish Tourist Information and Conference Center. And we will have an auction no earlier than November 1st.
Well said.
Yes. Okay. All right, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Shane, second by Mr. Rowe. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay.